Today is a special day. Today, on my show, it's Ladies' Day. Matter of fact, let me fix this. Got these goddamn flowers in the back and all that. Let's make sure. Because YouTube, I don't want YouTube to come for me. So I can't use the anime no more. I wish I could. I'm kind of mad I can't. I'm not even going to lie. Kind of mad I can't. Because it's fun looking at Goku in the background and beating up people, or Yu beating up Toguro and stuff like that. But I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm going to just use that as a background until I feel like getting something else. But with that said, I appreciate everybody tuning in, man. I'm also streaming live from Twitch, too. So if you're on Twitch, and shout-outs to VSN Network. Shout-outs to VSN Network. I actually have a VSN Network member in the building. VSN Network, we're trying to start this whole Twitch community thing where we're playing games and we're showing people, hey, you know, we play a lot of games. You know, we play Final Fantasy. We play, you know, Kingdom Hearts, Call of Duty. It's a lot of games that we play, right? And, you know, shouts to VSN, man. I appreciate those guys over there, man. A lot of good folks over there at VSN. With that said, today is Ladies Day, right? And with Ladies Day, you know, I didn't do a Twitter post game. I was actually at the Knicks game today. I had a lot of fun. Shout outs to Big Paza, Dante DiVincenzo. Matter of fact, I got a Big Paza hoodie right behind me. Nice Big Paza hoodie. Shout outs to Chef too. When I go to Chef, oh, I got an upside down. See, I'm tweaking. When I go to Chef, right? Chef owns an Italian restaurant. So when I go see Chef and I do the live stream from Chef Italian restaurant, that's what I'm gonna have on. Probably have on some fly shit, but you know, it's a special day. I want to present the lady I got in today, the first lady of Nick of Time Show. She showed me a lot of love on Nick's Twitter. Always appreciated the person I am. Never tried to change me, but also, you know, talks the game of basketball and actually just finished recording a live stream. Shout out to my guy, Nick of Time Show, Jay Ellis, all the guys over there. Shout out to those guys. And let's bring this lovely lady in. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How you stay? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. I'm great, man. I appreciate having you on SLRK today, man. This is nice. Yes. How are you? How's the family?
Everybody's good. Everybody good. You know, my son getting big, but he's doing good.
So before we even start, I noticed behind you it says all things difficult before. What's that? See, I'm getting older. What's that?
All those things are difficult before they are easy.
That's your son.
Yes. He's never in it. This is my podcast room, is my son's room, because he's never in it. You get what I'm saying? So you got to make use of it. It's just a podcast playroom right now.
that's good. That's sweet. What grade is he in?
He's in third.
That's good.
Shout out to my guys, Jay Ellis, Ryan.
Yeah, shout out to Jay. Shout out to everybody.
Yes.
That goes into my first question, because we're not going to get into the Knicks yet. I don't want to talk about the Knicks yet. How's motherhood? How does it feel like to be a mother? You wake up every day, because when my little sister, when she has my nephew, I'm not going to lie, she be dead tired. So when I come in the house, she immediately goes in the room. She don't waste no time at
you
all.
That me time. You like, let me get that.
But how is motherhood? How is motherhood? Explain it. How did you feel when you first became a mother as opposed to now? And how does it affect your Nick fandom? If your mom be asking as well.
Oh, nothing. Like, that's my greatest accomplishment. My son. I'm not even gonna hold you. That's my, you know, my little man. He's a gift and a talent. He's very, very smart. Thinks he's smarter than everybody. And he's a kind soul. So I just wanted to, you know, give him the tools to be the, you know, navigate this world so he's comfortable in any setting. And so far so good. You know, So, he's not big in basketball. He wants to be a businessman, architect. He likes that style, engineer type of scientist. But he watches it every now and then. I made a mistake and watched the Pacers game because it was on ESPN and we was off. He talking about some let's go Pacers. I never watched it again. I said, I never put him back on TV again. I'm like, okay, I'll play myself. That's what I get for watching the Pacers game, huh? Yeah, I just, and now this is the motherhood is actually what made me get into try to get into content creating. You know, it tried to make me try and show him you like something, you love something, see where it goes. So that's why I am in trying this content creating lane and to show him you could do whatever you want to do if you put your all into it.
From me to you, you're not trying anything, you're actually doing. It's kind of it's a difference, right? It takes practice and repetition every day. What I will say is, keep being yourself. And I love the fact that, you genuinely always show everybody love. And I mean include everybody. And there's been times where I've seen you get attacked on mixed Twitter and things of that nature. Can you speak on that? Like how, as far as like female content creation and you're trying to give your take, but you got grumpy old men and young men too. We all, probably don't have females that do it because I don't see mixed Twitter ladies getting into these bad arguments. Yeah, go ahead. I would love to hear your answer for this.
Well, I'm always, I guess you want to say back in the day, we called it a tomboy. I have a lot of close male friends, so it's Twitter is something I'm used to, and I always know people are going to they're gonna have something to say. But if you have fact or stat or you can break down why you feel that way, we could talk all day, and that's what I just try to debunk people with stuff that either prior history or show how basketball can, how that can be true, how my statement can be true. And I always say that I have the unpopular takes until they're popular. So I just stick to basketball and what I've learned during my journey, basically. It
So,
doesn't affect me though. I know what I know, I don't talk out my butt.
how did it first start? How did it first start? How did you meet Trippy? Where, shout out to my guy Trippy. Where did the DS thing come from? Like, where was your beginning at?
My beginnings actually started on Twitter. I seen I found Knicks Fan TV actually, and then I found out about Knicks Twitter because my family was tired of it. They was tired of me talking Knicks. They was like, "We don't want to hear that no more." You get what I'm saying? We ain't trying to hear Knicks all the time. Come on. So I was like, "Let me find a community that's as crazy about my team as I am." And I stumbled upon Knicks Twitter. And then I had my first space, but shout out to Queen Miss MJ and Mo, Big Mo. They did the ladies of the Knicks Lounge one time, and that was my first space. And I actually seen Trippy. He was talking about his kids because Trippy shouts out to Trippy. He was seeing his he was talking about his kids and how he's doing it for his kids, and that's what I'm doing this for. For my son, so I felt I reached out to him. Was like, "What's up with VSN?" And he welcomed me with open arms. Shout out to my VSN family, Queen P, Daru, Trippy the fan, Bones, the vibes. So yes, that's how I started that's how I started on Twitter basically, and then trying the spaces, and then it's just trying to see where it goes basically. Staying humble, not letting it go to my try to let it go to your head or whatever the case is. And you can show everybody love. Love is free. There's enough success out here for everybody, and that's just what I try to do. Good energy. Let it come back around. Just good positive vibes.
Has there ever been a moment where you felt like, damn, I can't do this shit anymore? Like, fuck this.
Oh, nah, never, not yet. When I feel like it's too much, I unplug. I'm quick to do that. I step away from Twitter. I step away from everything. Just unplug and just miss it again. So it doesn't become too much. So on Saturdays and Sundays, most of the time, I'm in and out of Twitter. And just respecting that everybody has an opinion. That everybody's going to have an opinion. that doesn't mean I'm gonna agree with it, and I don't even have to say anything back to it. So that's just my way of going about things.
That's great. That's a great answer. How did you become a part of KOT? Shout out to my guy JLS and those guys, man. Shout out to everybody in Nick's content creation, especially our you know, my fellow Black folk. I feel like, you know, as far as like Nick's content creation is concerned, especially with us, you know, sometimes we get viewed a different way. I feel like sometimes, you know, a lot of people usually attack our intelligence instead of attacking the tape. It's a bad president if we don't all work together. So it's crazy how, like, I seen you on Nick of Time show, and that was one of the shows where I first started, gave me a little motivation. So shout out to my guy Jay Ellis. But you know, how did you get a part of that? please let me know.
Shout out to my guys and Jay Ellis, Lee again, and Ryan G. It was actually, and Trippy also. Trippy is not, you know, even though you're part of VSN or whatever, Trippy is another guy that is share the wealth, wish positivity upon everybody, wants to see everybody win. That's why, you know, I reached out to him. I felt that from the beginning. I actually was on Queen Steph's show. So shout out to Queen Steph. I was on her show for a ladies night. And I guess I was speaking a lot like what Jay Ellis thinks. And he reached out if I wanted to know, do post games this season. And I was all for it. And it was just like, I knew them for forever. Like, you know, I enjoy talking basketball with them. It just, it's very natural. I get to be myself. I'm very silly. I don't take much serious. So just like I said, I always have, I'm in my son's room is my podcast room. I stay with props on the show. I got, look, this is my analogy for today. You see Pikachu? That's Josh Hart. He little, but he pack a big punch, you know? There you go.
In the game. Pikachu.
Sniper gang. That's McDuke. That's Deuce. That's Devo and them. You know. I keep the props. Hold on. I keep the props.
What else you got?
Sniper gang. I keep the props next to me. You know. I incorporate that in our defense. This is how I say. Locked up. They won't let me. I got the NYPD card. You know.
Woo-hoo.
That's our defense right there.
Lock them up.
Nah, but yeah. So I enjoyed on the KOT show. They allow me to be myself, and you know, and we don't always agree, but it is definitely a deep basketball conversations with no disrespect. So I love that.
Yo, can I ask you about Pikachu real quick? I just got to. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. I'm sorry. I just gotta ask you about Pikachu. Why did you buy Pikachu?
Huh?
Why did you buy Pikachu?
Pikachu, oh, that's my son's guy. That's my son's guy. Actually, he got little Pikachu. I told you, always on deck. And he got the huge Pikachu. that's my son's guy.
Do you watch cartoons, by the way?
Yes, I do. My family, my mister is a big kid too. So a lot of times he never stopped watching cartoons. Having a son just gave him a reason to watch more. So he gets to show him all the classics and things of that nature. But yeah, I like cartoons still. I still do more of Marvel and Avengers, the movies and things of that nature. I love that. I love that type. So yeah, I'm a big, I guess, yeah, Marvel fan. What I didn't do was I didn't do the comic books. I never got into the comic books. I wasn't that deep into it, but the movies definitely.
I respect it. I gotta hold on. Let me see. Since you want to go props. I got it. So I'm a huge comic book fan. Yeah, I got it. Actually, I got it actually from my father, and like I got.
Still
like in the package and stuff like that. I'm a huge like comic book fan. When my father used to put me in trouble, he beat my ass for me doing something stupid. What he used to do is no TV, I get the belt lashing. Parents, beat your kids. Beat they ass. If you gotta beat they ass. Don't call ACS.
Nah, they quick to call them now. You can't. It's gentle parenting right now.
No, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. I try to be gentle with my nephew. Like, I try. Mm-mm. But he always tests my gangster. And his favorite word now is no. Yeah. Hey, nephew, come in. No. Can you do? No. What the?
My son's thing is he's mastered my art of ignoring. And it kind of drives me nuts. Like, I ain't gonna hold you, but he's mastered that. He act like he ain't even here. You just straight ignore mode. And I guess that's a superpower, because he do that in school too. You know, if somebody trying, he just ignored him. He be like, I just ignored him. I said, I understand. I get it. That's his thing. I ain't hear you, mommy. That's his favorite line. Yeah, you heard me.
Yo, what's your favorite cartoon?
My favorite all-time cartoon, like from childhood, you're gonna be surprised. It's Doug. I used to love me some Doug.
Well, I love Doug.
Doug, that's it was Doug, Recess, and Peppa Ann.
Peppa Ann and Recess.
That's what it was back in the day. I used to love cartoons like that. But I used to love, what is it, Static Shock 2 and Animaniacs. I like to laugh.
Animaniacs.
I'm a person that loves comedy. That's my favorite genre.
Remember Animaniacs, the three pigeons? Mm-hmm. And they got the Godfather pigeon.
And it was a water go down the hole. You know, yeah, definitely. That was my joint. They actually rebooted that. They have it, I think, on Hulu now.
So
my son now knows what Animaniacs is too. So we introduced him to that.
Oh yeah, what's his favorite cartoon?
Yeah, it just depends on the month. It depends on the month, for real. They go through phases. It'll be your favorite cartoon from now. But he's getting into anime. He goes through shows. And Ninjago. It just depends on how you're feeling. You know, it's not like when we grew up where we had to catch shows and things. They have so much choices and things of that nature. But when I grew up, you got Netflix, Hulu right then and there. Watch your favorite shows whenever you want to. So it just depending on how he feels.
Killer. It's a killer, because I'm older. So, you know, when you sit there, you in your crib, you want to switch channels, you're like, damn, I want to watch this. I'm five minutes into the show, I'm switching the damn show. God.
Yeah.
So where do I begin? How did you feel about the Knicks back in 2019?
I guess 2019. Yeah, you gotta say teams, because I'm terrible with years. I'm my memory shot, roses and petunias. You gotta give me the like, for real. Hold on, now you're gonna have to Google it, because I am terrible.
No, I got you. That's what I'm here for. It's okay. That's what I'm here for. Trust me. 2019, we first signed Julius, we draft RJ, we still got David Fizdale in the building. Mm-hmm. With the evil villain and Mike Miller, that bat. Let me stay cool.
Go ahead, do your thing. What happened? What Mike Miller do to you?
yo, this motherfucker. He played Mo Harkless and Alfred Payton over Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, and did not want to get a top three pick in that draft, and won a 21 meaningless games, and only played those guys to help further along his career. I will never forgive that man for that. We could have Ant-Man or LaMelo, but either way, that summer we signed five power forwards along with Julius Randle. We get RJ Barrett in the building. So what's your mindset going into 2019, 2020? Mind you, this is the year before we actually, you know, hired. I'm talking about the year before we hired Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. When we got there, I was upset, you know, like everybody. I was happy that we got somebody. And I was always a fan of Randle before he got to the Knicks. Me and my mother, I remember having a conversation, because my whole family are big sports fans. And I asked her, I said, we used to talking about it. I was like, I wonder why Randle doesn't get a big enough role. You know, like, why doesn't he have a big enough role? And it was just the fact that I seen when he came to New York, you know, maybe he wasn't watching as much film. Or the game was still a little fast, but I was excited for the Randle RJ. I wanted to give him a shot. I wasn't going to just say it was terrible, But I knew that why they signed Randle was because they didn't want another Kevin Knox situation, where they gave a young kid keys and he wasn't ready for it. So they signed Randle as an insurance plan so it wouldn't happen again. What happened is it looked like Randle wasn't just ready for it either. I was calling him the twirling, whirling ballerina at one point, turning and spinning to turnovers. It wasn't a pretty start. Yep. He was going that good Randle, bad Randle thing. So those beginnings makes you appreciate where we at now, for real.
I do. I ain't gonna lie. So now let's go into 2020. COVID hits. One of the most devastating viruses I've ever seen in my life. I've never experienced something like that. The Knicks stopped playing basketball. Mm-hmm. We didn't have basketball for about 8 months. We watched the Lakers win the bubble ring. We didn't see our families for 4 to 5 months. What's your mindset during this time where the Knicks is playing no basketball and you're like, what the hell is going on? And your last memory of the Knicks, from what I recall, was the Knicks versus the Atlanta Hawks, and then they stopped play.
Yeah, they were on the road to Atlanta, right? Because I had actually went to the last home game we had played Philly when Ben Simmons was still with Philly. We had played Philly right before that COVID break. It was the last home game right before they called the season. I didn't think it looked bleak. I was like, how are we going to play with a virus and you gotta play, have a mask on? You know, how does that happen when you're breathing in people's face? I just thought it was a wrap for a while. I didn't ever think it was going to happen. They were going to resume it until they found some kind of answer. I was like, dag, thinking about all the sports, like it might not be sports for a very long time. That was my mindset, that I didn't think it was going to be another game for a very long time. I thought the season would be lost. But you see what happens when NBA players can't do anything else. They don't have any outside distraction. They don't have any pressure. People that you wouldn't expect to put on, they put on. So that's why people call that Laker ring a fluke. A lot of people don't respect it.
Mm-mm. Now we get into the almighty fourth seed. This man, Julius Randle, played like a man who was on coke the whole season. I don't know what the fuck I was watching with him. The man was making every mid-range jump shot, every three-pointer. He looked unguardable. He outplayed everybody that year. I don't know what I was watching. I think he averaged 25, 11, and 5, 40% from three. Like, it was madness. And then the Knicks, you know, we started off rocky. Remember, we was like 12 and 14, 12 and 15. You know, we was rocky. He was looking like the boat out there. Then we make a trade. Mm-hmm. Leon Rose goes and gets Derrick Rose. Immediately. Knicks go on a couple of nine. I think we went on like a 9-game win streak. And then we went on another 8-game win streak. Mind you, that was the first season we hired Tom Thibodeau. I wanted Thibodeau hired. I would love to know if you wanted him hired and who was your pick. What was your mindset going to that season? And how do you feel about that season overall? And also, give me something about Leon Rose, too, going into the season, because mind you, you just picked up a team that just won 21 wins. We just spoke about COVID stoppage, and now we got Thibodeau in the building, and we got these guys in the building. So,
yeah, that season with Tibbs, I'm a big Derrick Rose fan, so I follow his career, you know, from Chicago to Minnesota, so I'm familiar with Tibbs. I'm very familiar with Tibbs, and after his stop with Minnesota, and it was another young team, you get what I'm saying? Like, similar to where we were, we had a lot of youthful pieces, and I'm like, look what happened over there with his youthful pieces over there. Do we really want to bring that here? He didn't have such a good run with them over there. You know, him and Cat had issues. It was a lot of locker room favoritism, or what they thought it was. Like, it was problems with Jimmy Butler. That's why he got traded, because he had issues in that. So I was like, I don't know if he can manage New York and our youthful pieces here. I know he's a vet lover. That is what, you know, he loves. So I wasn't a big on Tibbs being here, and I've been a huge critic, like being, you know, maybe not a big fan of him. I'm pointing out all his wrongs and things of that nature, but I do give him his flowers when he does well. And that season, though, he had limited people, so he got a lot out of what he had, I believe. And Julius did, he had to come down at some point. You know, he was shooting out this world, like you said, he was shooting. But it was one of the craziest seasons. It was like this season, but with a jump shot, because he was doing this and he had a consistent three-point shot at that season. So he's playing out this world. But in the playoffs, you know, it was a little up and down. And, you know, to that saying, pressure busts pipes, you go to back to what you know in pressure situations when you're comfortable. And that's kind of what we've seen from Tibbs and Randle. And the fact that we weren't healthy, we really missed Mitch in that that Atlanta series. But we was back. You couldn't tell me nothing. I thought it was going to be a string of playoff. I thought that was it, that Julius Randle figured it out and it was it. And then it was like that year in between. And then it was like, ooh. I didn't know what to believe then. Ooh. I didn't know what to believe.
So we go into the playoffs. Randle puts up civil rights, Martin Luther King stats, I Have a Dream stats. Randle has the worst field goal percentage in playoff history with players that shoots more than 100 shots, minimum attempts. Randle, you know, you could say he was hurt. You could say he wasn't ready. But then he came back another playoff again and puts up civil rights stats. The excuse again, Randle was hurt. Mm-hmm. Now we about to go to the playoffs a third time. This man hasn't played since last year, I believe. No, he played this year, matter of fact.
He played this year, yeah, like the beginning.
Fuck you, Jamie Hawkins, you Miami Heat bum bastard, for injuring Randle.
We got to have a prayer circle next time we play them.
Oh, I don't know. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And back to the matter at hand. We lose four. You know, we get smoked by the Hawks. We go into the offseason. We sign some Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, you goddamn thief. We also get, it was Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier. Shout outs to both of those brothers, by the way. They never complained, never talked bad about the Knicks. I appreciate both of them. I feel so horrible about Kemba Walker. Now we go into the next season. Randle melts down. Mm-hmm. RJ Barrett has to shoot a million shots. Very inefficient, but he showed up. Randle fighting with refs, everybody, complaining every play, slapping laptops, telling fans, shut the fuck up. He giving us thumbs down. Don't know what's going on with him. You're hearing rumors everywhere. You got Alec Burks stealing minutes. He's a thief. He trash. He is trash.
Point guard Burks. And now I don't know what Burks we got to this now, this time.
So talk about that season. What was your mindset going through this season with Randle and you know, going through all these emotions with Tibbs and his fuckery? I ain't gonna let him get away either. But tell me about that season, man. And what's your mindset?
Yeah, we asked about Leon Rose too. Leon Rose, I have had faith in him from the get-go. I know he had connections, and I like that he was being patient. You know, our names were in a lot of trades, and we didn't make any moves. And then I seen the effect that had, that people started giving us respect, and we started having confidence that all these rumors is BS because they're not talking to anybody, you know? So that was huge. But with that season, I think that the fourth seed and not having extra scoring, it kind of made them make reactionary movements. You see them go after, you know, Kemba. And we knew that Kemba couldn't play consistently anymore because he had knee issues, not the amount of minutes that Thibodeau wanted him for, you know. And then you see Fournier, who was a career 40% shooter before he joined our team. He actually, his first season there, he kind of rocked us to sleep with the shooting and that of nature. But we come quick to know that he is a cone, you know. He cannot guard on the other end, and I don't like players like that too much. You know, you got to play that other end for me. But yeah, that was it. It was just a reaction from not having the scores of the other and that fourth seed, and Derrick Rose and needing another point guard, and Thibodeau not trusting his youth a little bit, which was another problem I had with Tibbs, just how he had a kind of buried IQ and things of that nature. And I thought before when Alec Burke was here, he should have got some more minutes then. So yeah, just that of nature. I really don't know what happened that season. Injuries, not having enough, mental breakdowns. We just, you know, Julius Randle just really came out and said he really started watching film recently, and you can tell because him and double teams was a problem. Anytime people double team him, it was every other time was a turnover basically, or you know, he would pass the ball out to nothing to get nothing or whatever. But I see growth. We just had a very, very bad season. Is that if I'm correct, Noel, that we had got rid of him already, right?
Noel, yeah, that fucking bird, yo, excuse my language, yo, some of these pickups that Leon Rose got us, yo, oh my goodness, like it's no in between, pause, with Leon Rose. It's either it's really good or straight ass.
Now, not for nothing, I didn't see the Fournier thing, you know, him just, maybe the defense, but before, in his career, he competed on that, and, you know, I didn't just see the straight fall off on that, and also just his shot wasn't falling a lot either. When we needed him, he was missing wide open shots, so now he, again, it sounds like what we're going through right now, but I know we're going to get to that, but, Evan, he couldn't hit the open shot. So just like you're not adding anything to this team right now. And then you see what Tibbs he adjusted eventually. But that first season he was here, he broke that record though, right? So hopefully Dante can erase that.
Yes, sir, Big Bazaar. That's my guy, Big Bazaar. Yo, Ed, they love you, Ed.
Thank you. I love you back. Appreciate it.
We gotta let me show love to the chat and all live viewers. We got 274 people on YouTube watching right now. Love all of you guys. We have 255 people watching from Twitter right now. I love you guys. This is love. This is what I like to see, right? This is why you have to have these women on here talking Knicks basketball. Now let me shut the fuck up the fan and let's get back to the thing at hand. Right, and now we get everybody's favorite. Hold on, let me get to some of these chats. Shouts to Yanni's World. Appreciate you, Yanni, for pulling up. Appreciate you, Izzy Black. Appreciate you. What's good? God, peace and abundance to stay in Ebony. You know, pieces. Shout outs to you, brother. You got D Black in here. We got Just Knicks in here. Shout out to the Nick of Time show, man. We got Trippy in here from Twitch, man. I'm also streaming from Twitch too. Shout out to Brutus in here, man. One of the first viewers in here. Appreciate you. Now, you know, shout out to D Block. Yeah, salute to all the queens in the Knicks community. We love you. We love you. I hope to have Ebony on more of these. I hope. You know, Ed.
What's up?
We was introduced to Jalen Brunson. Randle meltdown. Evan Fournier breaks the most flukiest record I've ever seen. And we get Jalen Brunson. We trade for Josh Hart in the middle of the season. We win 47 games. Jalen Brunson completely turns Randle's Knick career around. Completely saves Tom Thibodeau's job. Completely makes the team look different. He makes us compete. He looks confident out there. I'm watching Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges trying to stick him to their paws from the skybox. Shout out to my guy, Anthony MSG. Nobody could guard him. Left-handed, right-handed, left-handed floaters, stop pop middies, right side corner threes, stepping threes. I don't know what he's Allen Iverson to me. He's the closest I've seen. And I've been watching a lot of basketball the past 23 years. He's the closest I've seen the footwork to Allen Iverson. We get introduced to Brunson. We win 47 games. We go to the playoffs. We beat the hell out of Cleveland. Fact. And then we go to Miami. We get punched in our faces. Randall puts up civil rights, Martin Luther King numbers once again. Jalen Brunson was out there game six by himself. RJ Barrett left him to drown. Josh Hart left him to drown. What the fuck is going on here? Nobody can make a shot. Ed, what the hell was going on?
Motion.
Now, detector. Brunson, tell me about Brunson, Ed, in this season, man. Tell me how you was feeling.
Well, Brunson, before we got him, you know, I'm a big Nova fan. I was a Nova fan. I was big into college basketball when they were actually at Nova. You know, I don't have a college team really, but I respect Jay Wright and what he's done in, over there in Nova. They always have a certain type of player of just dogs where they're going to do any and everything, meaning they're going to exist. They're going to play defense. They'll rebound for you. Just tough players, dogs, you know, just overall. So I knew he, and he comes through when the lights are brightest. You know, we saw that in Dallas, him taking over when Luka had went down. He had carried them until he was able to recover and help the team or whatever. So I was excited. I was a little sad for IQ because I thought he was going to get a bigger role before that. But you see Brunson learning. He reminds me of two of my, you know, Allen Iverson is, like you, my favorite player of all time. That's my GOAT personally. Not saying he is the GOAT, but there's nobody above personally for me. And I know who the real GOAT is, MJ for me. But that's my guy. It's my overall favorite player. And Steph is my current favorite player right now playing. And he reminds me of both of those guys. Just his toughness, his footwork, where even though he's small, it doesn't matter who's in that paint, he can get a bucket. He sees bigger guys and he's like, I'm gonna put him in the post. And I've never seen that from a smaller guard really. And his again, he's just so smart. He picks you apart and he might not even be the fastest. It's just that he's gonna make you think something else and do a totally different thing. The way that he was able to take off pressure for Julius Randle was big. And then again, when the lights are the brightest, that's when he performs. He came through in that playoffs that put both of them. You know, he started off slow a little bit with Cleveland, but he found his footing when we needed him. And yeah, I think we have our star. I'm done wishing on Paul and a star because I really truly believe we have ours. So yeah, that's it. Jalen Brunson is he's a game changer. How do you guard that man?
So we get Brunson, we get Josh Hart. What's your thoughts on Josh Hart when we first got him?
Oh, actually, I know. I wouldn't forget it. I actually got Take of the Weekend. I got a recap show because I had said at the time that he's a Thibodeau player, somebody that does everything. Just he can impact the game without having the ball. And Thibodeau loves those type of players, you know, and he can give you see versatility. You can put him very versatile, put him in a bigger, he can guard bigger players, play bigger than he is. Shout out to my guy Jay. He had earlier in the post game, he had said that Josh Hart reminds him of a Draymond Green type of player, and that's definitely where I see him. I knew that at the time we still had Obi when we got him, that he would help Obi get into transition, and he was doing that. Him and Obi had a little chemistry in that. And that fast break when we were running, which was rare during that season. But I felt that we beat ourselves that year. I felt Tom Thibodeau, I joked about it, him in the beginning of the season, being NBA all-first defense. That's what Thibodeau can be. That man be on the all-defense team because he'll make the decision for the other team, you know, take out the man that's hot. You know, I say it all the time. With Thibodeau, he make me mad with his written plays. Like, he can't freestyle. Like, he would never get invited to Rap City. He would never get invited to Rap City. But at that time, for that series, I felt that putting Josh Hart in the starting lineup was kind of like the Cleveland Cavaliers putting LeVert in their starting lineup and how we was able to beat them. They didn't have anybody on the bench type thing, no spark, no nothing. And it messed up the chemistry spacing a little bit because now we got Josh Hart, RJ, and Mitch. So there was no spacing. And they're daring RJ and Josh Hart to shoot every time. And I thought Thibodeau didn't help our offense because all he had to do is what he's doing now is flat. Use your bigs to flash to the middle. And that's how you break a zone. And we've been doing that. And that's why people can't, on top of the better spacing this year, it's just better movement, so they can't really play the zone on us. But I think we definitely beat ourselves last year. It should have been us in the finals.
Great tip. Yo, you breaking my heart. Yo, I've never wanted a man to make a jump shot more than RJ Barrett in game six, yo. That shit broke my heart, bro. Shout out to RJ Barrett. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know how I felt about the babies. They're my babies.
Oh man, yo. Shout out to RJ Barrett, man. God rest it, you know, his little brother. So shout out to Manny Quigley, man.
Yeah, I heard that. What happened? I didn't hear what happened. I know he was out for personal reasons. Did they specify why?
His uncle passed away due to cancer. So tough. And I sympathize with people like Quigley after just losing my father, you know, a couple weeks ago after my 34th birthday. So, you know, salute to Quigley. Once a Nick, always a Nick. I'm sending a lot of love your way. Peace and blessings, brother. Life, you go through trials and tribulations. Let's see what you become of it. You know, your uncle ain't going to want you to sulk. That nobody.
That's facts, though. I think I mentioned to you before.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, motherhood. Another thing, I lost my youngest. I lost my youngest, so it was like a real dark period. And like Twitter and content creator talking about Knicks and being on here. This has been it was like a huge pull up. Like I tell everybody all the time. That's why I'm sincere when I say that the DMs is open if anybody ever needed a distraction. You know, I try to do my part because the Nick Twitter community kind of did help me out too, real quick, to just try to, you know, follow your dreams and my, you know, and just keep a distraction. So facts.
I agree. Salute to everybody that's pulling up in the chat, man. I appreciate all of you guys, man. Once again, man, they love you, Ab. They love you, Ab. We got 337 people watching live. That is
love them back.
That is insane. I see. Listen, man. I appreciate everybody who's pulling up, man. This is from the mud. This took years of like building up. Like this took losing a lot of sleep. This took last week. I gotta be to work 8 a.m. I'm up 3 a.m. still writing a goddamn Bernard King article. Like that's the type of like commitment I make to this, and I hope that everybody sees it. And that's all. And this is why today I said, yo, you know what? I gotta get Ab on here, man. I gotta get Ab on here. I gotta get the Knicks Twitter lady. Shout out to Queen Steph. She's gonna be on here later. It's 350 people watching live now. Appreciate everybody that's in the chat, man. You got Nick Stan here. You fake ass Jalen Brunson lookalike. Appreciate you, Nick Stan. Yo, if I was you, I'm running with that. I'm running with the Jalen. I might as well.
He went viral.
Salute to you. Salute to D, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, man. You know, RJ, brother. Yeah. Shouts to RJ. We shouted out RJ. No worries, brother. Trust me. We shouted out RJ, bro. Love is love from VA. Appreciate you, man. I'm straight out of Harlem, man.
Nick Twitter in the building.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate y'all. Now back to Ebony's show, because this ain't my damn show today, right? The big German. We signed him that same season. How do you feel about that pickup so far? And how did you feel about that pickup when we first got him? And has it grown, you know, your love for him, has it grown over due time?
Yeah, at first I was feeling like how I feel about the Detroit Piston players we have right now. That's how I felt, you know. And then he went on his Ruben Studdard, his apology tour, you know, his I'm sorry for, remember that? So he went on that tour, and then he started playing from then ever since. But before we got there, I again, kind of similar where the Brunson situation was with IQ, because I wanted to see, I thought I was going to get a chance finally to see a little bit more of Sims, because to me, Sims reminds me so much of Mitch, a lot of Mitch. Just the athletic defensive role, you know, the jumping ability, that type of thing. Limited on offense, but, you know, he is a good defender. So I was like, okay, but then let me give him a shot. They said that he can open up the game, you know, he can shoot a little bit. So I thought about it, like it could be the perfect center. What Mitch can't do, he can do. And they both just make up the perfect center minutes. And it's kind of happened right now, dead serious. So I like what iHeart brings, and that it's next man up mentality. I like the closeness to with him and Mitch, and that they learning off each other and bettering each other, you know, for making, you know, motivating each other, playing for each other. And that's very underrated when you're playing for your teammates, because you're going to give your all. You're going all out. You don't care if you get the shot, you just want the best shots and things. And that's what we're seeing now. So iHeart, he's grown on me, definitely on the defensive end too. Right now, yeah, his floater is damn near is just automatic. It's automatic almost. So yeah, I appreciate it. And what I don't appreciate is the comparisons. We shouldn't have to compare our two centers. Just enjoy them for who they are. And love this great, great problem of having two great centers that we have. I honestly think we could keep both of them, because it'll be like paying two centers for the price of a Rudy Gobert type of center. So, yeah.
Money Mitch. He's one of my favorite Knicks. I love Mitch Robinson.
Now, you know.
That's my guy. I love Mitch Robinson. Shouts to Mitch. I can't wait till he get back. We definitely gonna get into the season. Just let me get there. Let me get there. Cause I want to lock up. Lock him up.
I can't wait.
Shouts to Mitchell Robinson, man. He's second in franchise history in blocks total, behind Patrick Ewing. So we appreciate you, Mitch. With that said, you know, we got, you know, the big German in the building, Brunson in the building. We trade for Josh Hart in the middle of the season. Julius Randle has a monster season. Now he's going to be Julius Randle having a monster season. Now he's on his second All-NBA team. We go into the playoffs. We lose to Miami. Now we're going to the season. We get Big Paja. Oh my God. I almost want to call him the best pure shooter in Knicks history. Like, I almost want to, but I didn't sniff enough today. I almost want to. I swear I almost want to. But how did you feel about the Dante pickup going into this season? Did you feel like Leon Rose has done a good enough job over the past couple of years reshaping the roster? Because obviously this is not the same roster we had like a couple of years ago. This is obviously very different. So talk about Leon Rose and the job that he's done so far, getting us to this point. Or wait, your son Bobby. He can come say hi.
Cool. He left. He over here whispering. And he just left. I'm going to get him before I get off to say hello, though.
talk about this season, man. It's a season we dealing with injuries. You know, we definitely going to get to the game today. But, you know, we dealing with injuries. Talk about Leon Rose and what he's done these past couple of years. And do you think he's, you know, doing a great job and getting Dante, getting the Villanova boys, getting Jalen Brunson, bringing in a new culture, getting Tom Thibodeau, re-signing Mitchell Robinson, giving RJ Barrett $100+ million, giving Emmanuel Quickley a potential chance at a starting role for the Toronto Raptors, giving Cam Reddish a chance to go be a starter on the LA Lakers, giving Obi Toppin a chance to go start on the Indiana Pacers. He gives everybody chances. Floor is yours,
Al. Yeah, and that's a good look. You know that he's going to take care of you. That'll help you out for future references. And also with Tom Thibodeau, with Leon Rose, what he did is, what I love is he never put all our eggs in one basket. If something failed, we can abort mission and try a different way and not have to totally rebuild. Like, whether it's with the draft picks, whether it's with the talent that we've accumulated, like things of that nature. When we got Josh Hart, I kind of called Dante too, because I knew he was a free agent, and I knew that that Golden State, he outplayed his contract and they couldn't afford to pay him what he was going to ask for. So and when he came, I was hyped. I'm like, he's Josh Hart with a jump shot. I said, before the season is over, everybody is going to absolutely love this signing. And Yeah, everybody looks to seem like they love this signing. He did go play with one of the biggest, in the game with Steph. Like, and he learned a lot. You could tell the way he's moving off ball, that quick release. And with Dante, it's never been, if he could, it's been opportunity. He was hurt. He was hurt when the Milwaukee, they won that, he won the champ with Milwaukee. But look who he was next to, the Jrue Holidays, the Giannis's. You pick up things, you pick up work, you pick up little tricks of the trade. And then he was supposed to play in Sacramento, and I think they played Justin Holiday over him or somebody else. Somebody else got played over him. That's why that didn't last, and he had bad blood with them or whatever. And then he gets a real shot at Golden State, where they just gave him a shot, injuries or whatever. They weren't that deep, and he took his minutes because those are actually supposed to be Moody's minutes and things of that nature. So he took his minutes, kind of like he took his minutes from Grimes. Like you get what I'm saying? Like his play is that good, and he can do other things. So while his shot may not fall, again, you don't need a and Leon, shouts out to Leon Rose. He understands like that Detroit Piston type of vibe. That's what Scott Perry had brung, you don't need a bunch of stars. You just need a bunch of players to start in their role. If you get everybody to contribute, how can you stop that? You really can't. And then on top of them contributing on offense, they're doing it on defense as a team. That's why we're so deadly right now. Like, I don't know if I told you, I'm a gamer too. Like, I'm on Twitch too. I just joined up to shout out Trippy for saying let's do this. But I was playing Spider-Man 2, and I'm talking to shouts out to my sis, my big sis, Queen P, VSN Queen. I'm talking to her on the phone, and she's talking about Mitch coming back. The news that we got Mitch coming back, and I'm like, yes, I know, help on the way. I can't wait to see this team fully healthy. Blah 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 blah. And as we're talking, I look up, and guess where I'm in front of in the video game? Not like. I didn't know it was even in the video game. I'm in front of Madison Square Garden, y'all, in Spider-Man 2, as I'm talking about Mitch coming back. That was a sign. I believe in signs, y'all. That was a sign that I'm jumping out the window. I'm a Ron Browns it. We win in the chip. That's it. If we get healthy, that it's over for the league this year. That's how I feel. That's how confident I am in this team this year.
My famous, my great saying about the Knicks right now, currently.
Championship or bust.
Championship or bust. You know that. I don't want to talk about Eastern Conference Finals. Doc Rivers is coaching the Bucks. They already done. I'm not worried about them. Philly, we punched them in the mouth a couple of times already. They don't want that smoke. Who else wants smoke? Indiana?
Didn't they lose to us right after the trade with nobody? Or was it we had no, we were still injured? They lost to us too. So.
They lost to us. They beat us, but they lost to us too. They beat us a game where we didn't have a lot of bodies, basically. So it's all good, man. Shout out to the 422 people in here. Once again, they love the ladies. Can you show that cop car again, real quick?
Nah, I stay with the props. We got for the cornball. This is normally when I'm talking about Paul Pierce. You got the corn in the vicinity. When we're talking about Paul Pierce, that normally come out.
Oh, natural born Nick hater, my Lord, Paul Pierce. So let's get right into it. This game today, the Knicks played the Nets. Obviously, I was in Madison Square Garden. Shout out to my guy. Anthony MSG, man. Anthony MSG is goated, bro. It's goated. Also, shout outs to MSG. MSG. Shout outs to the people up top at MSG, man. They know what's going on.
Yes,
They know what's going on. MSG got it. Yo, MSG got to sign off on a lot of stuff. Like, they have to sign off on a lot. So when Anthony signed off, I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's time. We all go. Because I'm not bringing myself. I'm bringing you. It's going to be Trippy. I'm bringing everybody. I'm going to have everybody in some type of capacity. That's why I said, yo, Trippy, man, we got to do this BSN thing, gaming thing. What is your favorite game, by the way?
Like, all-time favorite game?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the Melo game. When he went nutty, it used to be because when you think
NBA
about
Ball?
90, huh?
Is it
was it 61? I believe it was 61, something like that. When he was on fire, I can't remember who he played with. I told you my memory is really shot, but that used to be it. But now I want to say it was my favorite game. I don't want to say game, but games were just seeing Jalen Brunson in that playoffs last year. Like that run, that was my favorite, like Nick time. Just seeing him dominate and come into his own. Because I know what that means for our team. With the childhood, my childhood Knicks, they brung a lot of heartache. So I don't really.
What
that's
kind?
A golden age, but it was a lot of heartache. You know, when you're 7 foot center, finger rolls instead of dunks, that kind of heartache. You know, when your shooting guard goes like about 3-4 billion, you know, and that kind of heartache. You know, when you got a big guy, but and he's pump faking 8,000 times, don't want to take a let, getting on his Ben Simmons on, don't want to shoot. Yeah, those type of heartaches.
Woo boy.
Yeah, that stuff, you know.
Yo, watching Alfred Payton for 2 years did a number on my mentals, man.
That's your heartache?
Yeah, I can't. Out of all the years, I watched Antonio McDyess, Trey Ewing, cool. Stephon Marbury being glued to the bench because Larry Brown is a dummy. That Alfred Payton, yo.
Yeah.
I
was so tight, State. And for him to sit him at the end, I'm like, you should have.
But let's get back to the game tonight, man. Tell me about the game today. What you thought about the game today? How do you feel about Dante DiVincenzo's 31? You got Josh Hart, Mr. Triple Single, putting up Draymond Green stat lines. You got the big German. Shouts to Dante. Did you see that dribble move? Mm-hmm. I seen it live. I said, oh, Steph taught you some, huh? Yeah. But how did you feel about this game? Was you worried at any moment in this game? And the floor is your. Oh, one thing I want to throw at you, Ev. I want you to watch Thibodeau more when you're not at the Garden. He's my favorite watch when I go to the Garden. That man looks down. I don't know what drugs he used. I'm going to assume it's coke, and I'm going to assume it's weed. But he don't never sit down, man. He coached hard.
It was a Twitter post, sorry, because it was a Twitter post that said the top three tweakers in NBA, and I think it was Spoelstra, Thibodeau, and I can't remember the third coach. But they said Spoelstra be bugging out on the on the sidelines too. So somebody definitely had just posted that Tom Thibodeau will be on that sideline bugging out too. So for you to say that is hilarious. He be out there tweaking.
Yo, tweaking. When I tell you, yo, anytime you see somebody do something bad on the TV screen, when you see Tibbs immediately call that first time out, he's immediately cursing that person out. Like immediately. It's not even a if and but about. So yeah, the floor is yours. Talk to us about today's game, man. Knicks won again.
Yeah.
Shout outs to JB. Shout outs to the Villanova crew.
Nah, I asked for the Your Take Knicks pregame space. I asked Action You Shall Receive for either 80-point game or 90-point game to keep them around 80 or 90 points, and they did 91. So I will shout out to them, and especially because in the first half we wasn't really playing much defense. Our rotations was a little off. They had a lot of people in double digits, and they had a lot of others making plays. Like Darren Sharp was, you know, trying to make his presence felt. And I'm like, who? But he was trying. And but adjustments. Tibbs is learning. Maybe the old dog got some new tricks. Maybe he listening to somebody. He know his job on the line. He cannot lose with this team, and it may be his fault. He understands that. Like, I truly believe that, because now he's moving like a man whose job is on the line. Last game against Denver, I thought that we didn't need Precious so much. I thought we needed Sims because he did a good job on Jokic last time he played. I thought we would see more Sims minutes, and it was really funny because when Sims and Precious had played, we went on a mini run. We actually went on a run, and they had to, you know, call timeout and make adjustments themselves. And then we took them out and did a small lineup, and then went to iHeart, and things got a little murky. So I think he noticed that too, because Sims played more minutes in the first half than he did the whole game in Denver. Like, so that's adjustment. I see you, Tibbs. He adjusted, doing that again, the Nets were shooting 50% from three at halftime when he put Sims in that game, because he can go so high. Again, our versatility, he can go so high. We were able to cool off and stagnate the offense. But before that, Deuce held us down. You see our kids, the remaining babies is still growing. You see Deuce looking real comfortable. That baby was getting space in his shot today. Step back, you know, side stepping. I was like, okay, going to that layup with the left split in the defense. That was tough. And, you know, we're not used to Deuce getting mini buckets, layups like that. So that helps. And one thing about Deuce today, we were able to get a lot that we didn't get before, was non-Brunson minutes. We allowed Brunson to rest a little bit and during that fourth quarter, third quarter to fourth quarter thing. Then he came in about 7 minutes. So in him and iHeart, we were able to get rest because Sims and Deuce held it down for a long enough time. I just love this team. Like, you see Devo, who has not had his legs, and I think that comes with playing. Him and Hart play a lot. In the Denver altitude, already playing a lot at the end of a road trip, you know, that's going to take a lot out of you. I understand they're still human. So Devo's legs shooting has been up and down. He might not have the legs that he might have tired legs. But today, he didn't depend on shooting, just shooting today. Today, he was going to the hoop. He was taking, you want to run me off the three-point line? All right, I guess, you know, I'm going to the hoop. And then in doing that, he got himself in a rhythm where he started hitting his three-point shots and he feeling himself. So he needed this game, and I hope to see him build on it. And the fact that our heart is not playing that much minutes and he's still looking like himself, back to himself, that's a positive, especially on our way to this road to this playoffs. Everybody contributing. And Brunson didn't have a great game. He kept missing a lot of easy layups, but his boys had his back. Everybody, Josh Hart contributed. He had a little spark, little run, and everybody. Deuce had his run. Devo had his game. That fourth quarter, third quarter, he was just nutty. Like, he scored what? Like, he went on a 7-0 run by himself. Had the Nets had to call a timeout. I remember they was like, all right, let's talk this over. And then after that, we put in Brunson and iHeart, and it never dropped off. It continued. That is what I've been talking about since I've been on Twitter, having a complete team, doing it as a team. And it helps. It takes pressure off of Brunson, where we're not like, all right, Brunson had a bad game and we lost. And now we're fighting with each other. We calling our team trash and all this other stuff. You know, we have a team where they pick each other up. So, yeah, I'm loving this. This is my type of team.
Yeah, man. who knew Deuce McBride ever since shout out to Jay Ellis too. Yeah, Ev is great. Ev has great takes. And I think women in general, they are so important to us men when it comes to like give and takes in general, because too much men is too much testosterone for me, man. Too much rah 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 rah. Like, too much. I don't got time for that, man. I don't want an ego battle with nobody no more. Yeah.
Life too short for all that.
Yeah, damn right. Damn right. When do you think Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle, if you had an idea or a date or a game, let me go and Google this. Matter of fact, let me put it on the screen. If you had an idea of when these two guys would come back, mm-hmm. when do you think they will come back?
I know Mitch is taking contact right now, and they said they want to see how his body reacts, right? So I say maybe. So since when did he take contact? Before the Denver game, right? That's when it hurt. Right before the Denver game. So that's two games. We probably they I don't know if they you know they have to have a practice probably maybe he goes through another one and how he responds after that maybe they start easing him in after that second or third you know contact practice to see how his ankle so we got Pistons we got the Raptors right and the Spurs I don't know I don't think they would bring him back for Wimby not fresh old for injury but he did do a great job when Wimby when we played him last I don't know maybe they try to ease him onto a team that's not so big or physical I think they would try to get it before we play the Heat Kings and Bulls that stretch so maybe the Raptors hopefully they said the end of the month that's the end of the month
yep Raptors Thunder you got the Kings you have Bulls, you got the Heat, you got the Bucks. If I was the New York Knicks and I had an estimate of when Mitchell Robinson would come back, it should be Thursday, April 4th versus the Kings at home. I think that would be the perfect way to, you know, bring back Mitch along slowly. What about Julius Randle? The guy who is one of the most important pieces to us getting into the playoffs. And we almost forgot to talk about one guy who we should show love and talk about right now, OG Anunoby. So when do you think Julius Randle is coming back? And then let's get into a little combo about OG Anunoby.
Well, Randle, I honestly think he probably could come back right now if he wanted to. It's just the fact of the matter, do you need him right now? Brutus had brought up a good point, and I feel the same way. It's you know he's going to probably get surgery after this season, so you know that shoulder can be hit or miss. Even though it feels well, we don't know one little bump or whatever the case may be. One little bump or whatever the case may be, it might you know re-aggravate it, God forbid, or whatever. So knowing that. They will keep those games to be the playoff games. If you can only give us 10 to 15 games, let that be those playoff games, you know? And I totally agree. I've mentioned that he probably, if we were struggling, we would probably see him. We'll probably see him playing. You heard Kaiden say he's shooting a lot of threes. I don't know why he can't play. I think that he adds more spacing and the Julius that comes back, yes, he's still going to play in that same area, but I don't think he's going to have to bang as much because we've added that extra movement where he still could be effective and not have to be so much bully ball.
Yo, man, make sure you guys like and subscribe to Ebony's YouTube channel. Make sure you go follow Miss Ebony on Twitter. You know, make sure you like and subscribe my channel. Make sure you continue to support us because this is very hard and it's taxing sometimes, you know, to sit in the same spot or move around and talk about the New York Knicks, talk about life for about 2 hours straight. So, you know, it's tough. But let's get into our Nigerian brother. I think OG parents, I think one of his parents is from Great Britain.
Yeah, that's where they say he was raised, like from.
Shout out to my Great Britain brothers. It's crazy. A lot of Africans do live in England. Live in Europe. My fault. I was about to say England. Some dumb shit. But a lot of them do live in Europe. Man, that's cool. That's dope. OG Anunoby, our African brother, Nigerian, one of the highest plus minuses in NBA history. Talk about him. What's up, man? How you feeling about, you know, OG Anunoby and Leon Rose getting OG Anunoby? And shout out to D-Man once again, man. Make sure you guys go to YouTube. Hit that goddamn thumbs up button for State and Ebb. I appreciate all you guys. Shout outs to Brutus. Shout outs to my pregame partner, Ebb. Brutus and Ebony, they run. Matter of fact, Ebb, plug in your goddamn show.
Back, yes, before every Knick game, me and Brutus do Your Take Knicks on Twitter. I was about to say X, I don't know why, but on Twitter. I guess I could call it X because it ain't working like Twitter right now, so it's going to be X, yes. On X, we run this post pregame before every game, and yeah, I'm on post game with KOT, like a Nick of Time show. also on YouTube. So yeah.
I know you didn't call me up, bro. Oh man, they called me up. Oh my god. Oh.
He said it's happening. It's happening. Is it right? Okay. You just let it roll off after a while. You're just like, all right, whatever.
You know what? I appreciate it. Because when somebody calls you Unc, I think that's a sign of respect. So I appreciate you calling me Unc, but I'm still young, motherfucker. Also, let me give it a shameless plug. My goddamn self. The new merch website. Right? You got the coffee beans. You got some jean jackets for the women. You got some nice spandex right here. Affordable. Little $42 ain't nice. Very affordable. And I got some pint glass right here looking nice. I got some aprons right here. As you can see, what you notice on the website too, and a little advice for, you know, oh, I got to change that. But a little advice for people who wants to also get into the merch game. Make sure you take off the goddamn Knicks symbol on your merch. Got to make sure. This is all old. This is like, I made this. This is all, I made this. State of New York Knicks podcast. That stuff is cool. Because the Nick of Time, that stuff is cool. That MSG don't give a shit about that. What they give a shit about is when you got that Knicks on your clothing, they gonna come for you. So as you notice on the website, I changed a lot of the, I made sure if it got Knicks on, I took it off. Now if you want something with Knicks on, just come.
Yeah.
We get it. All right. We ain't gotta do anything on the website. All right. Nah, please stop. Oh man. Ebony, what is your confidence, you know, ending this season and we're going to be fully healthy. Yo, man, I still need to stop, bro. Hit me up, bro. I'm available at all times, bro. I'm sick of y'all.
Mine's in the mail. It's on the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, Ab. Well, I told you the 27th. Yep. I told you 27th. Yep. So I ain't forget about you.
On the way.
I promise. I ain't forget about you. Shout out to the jail.
No, I'm waiting. You know, I try to do the pod fits. I do a little designing myself, so I try to do the profits every once in a while, especially if it's somebody else, you know, or the Knick community. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it's enough success out here for everybody. And you giving flowers, I give you your flower state, because you consistent, you entertaining, and you don't let no, you know, you be you. You're authentic with it. I appreciate it. That's why when they were like, state this, I'm like, let's state B. You know, everybody has their opinion. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to take everything so to heart.
What is your... Nah, I appreciate you more. You know, I'm gonna get you out of here. But I do have two more questions.
No problem.
What is your advice for women who wants to get into the podcast game, who want to talk about sports? Because, you know, women, it be nasty out there. I ain't gonna lie. I seen shout outs to Melly. You know, Melly, she hosts a beautiful podcast. Appreciate Melly. Shout outs to Big Nick Energy and those guys over there. You know, I see people attack her all the time, yo.
Melly all the time, tag me in. Tag me in. You know what I'm saying? I got you, little sis. Don't take that on by yourself.
And when it comes to Melly, you know, Melly younger than me and you. Mm-hmm. Right? So she gonna take it there. Like, yeah, I don't like this. Now, you know, a woman like you, you'll probably, you know, fight back with them a little more. But, you know, sometimes it's very disingenuous. So mm-hmm. What is your advice for females who want to talk sports and want to get into, you know, podcasting and you know, just in general, you know, making merch or things in life, just like anything in life that comes to it?
Yeah, my number one advice is always be you. Shout out to my mama. She taught me young because I've never followed trends. I've never been a typical, you know, I've never followed trends. Just put it like that. So my mom's, I remember she used to tell me, I got mad one time because they were making fun because I was playing sports. You know, during that time, a girl playing sports, they should try to get at you. And I got mad. And my mom's told me that people going to talk regardless, you might as well let them talk while being you, because only you have to be in control of your happiness. You know, you're going to stop something and for the haters, and they don't have to live your life. Now you're miserable and they don't forgot about you. So just be you, authentically you. And your time, what you give your time to, protecting your peace. Sometimes I have time for the trolls, sometimes I don't. You know, it depends on if I have time that day. But I like to, if you're going to come on my page talking craziness, I'm going to kind of make you regret it, that you wasted your energy, make you feel like the captain of the goose troops kind of thing. So, be you. Again, words are only words. They're a bunch of letters unless you give it meaning, you know. That's something I tell my son. I tell anybody, like sticks and stone type of thing. You got to have tough skin. Again, these people, misery loves company. Half these people don't, you know, just because I'm a woman, they think, you know, they know more than me. Not having the experience that I do or anything of the nature, but just because I'm a woman, they automatically know more. And I make them regret that assumption every time. But that's just it. Be you all the time.
Great answer. Great answer. 506 people watching live.
Thanks for the love.
They love you, Ev. I'm telling you, man. They love ladies, man. You gotta get more ladies on y'all shows, man. Start showing them love. Stop being corny. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy.
Now, shout out to the Queens of Knicks, to the Knicks community, for real.
Yes. My last question is, outside of the Knicks, just the NBA in general, mm-hmm. if you had one player that you would want to join the Knicks, because I asked the last person who was on it. You got one player you would want to join the Knicks. It got to be realistic, though. Like, it got to be, 2025, he's a free agent, and we could trade for him that summer. 2026, he's a free agent. This team probably trash. If you had one player that you could tell Leon Rose, please, if you're going to make me wait, go get this guy. Who is this player? Why are you getting this player? What does your team look like after you get this set player? That's what I want.
Well, technically, I'm going to play long, but you know I'm done. I'm done wishing upon a star. I'm for real. I'm good with the team of dogs, you know. But if I had a player that I could put on the Knicks, it'd definitely be Ant Edwards. Quick, fast, and hurry. No hesitation. Anthony Edwards, me, please. That he can be the future of the league. Plays both ends, has that dog mentality, you know, that competitive spirit, the fight in you. The lights are not too bright. And the fact that he surprises himself is funny to me. Some of the plays he does, and looking back at it, he like, whoa, that got to be my favorite. You know, you see him give somebody a concussion recently off of a dunk. So, I definitely would love Anthony Edwards. But I know that would deplete our team, and we would be very star heavy and not very deep. So, I wouldn't do it though. I would do it if we could later down the line. If this doesn't work, if this proves not to work, then okay. But right now, I'm very happy with this team.
That's a great answer. It's funny because my pick is always LaMelo Ball. Like, I don't know what it is, but LaMelo in New York, oh my God.
I don't think you want LaMelo in New York State. I ain't gonna hold you.
It'll be straight. We'll bully him to play defense.
No, I'm not even talking about. I like LaMelo as a player. I'm just saying, you know, he likes the perks of the NBA, it seems. And New York has a lot of perks. Can he focus? Will he be focused here? He's very young. That's my thing. And I have a saying, you know my saying, put the Legos down. My man, LaMelo having injury issues all the time, breaking down apart like a Lego. So I don't know if I would. Exactly, Lego man.
Lego man.
He knows, Jay knows the vibes. Definitely.
Yo, shout out to LaMelo Ball, man.
Not
Lego man.
Lego, I am a very skeptical of trading for Lego men, you know. Very, very. And especially ones that smile as much as LaMelo does while losing. so those things right there, you know, I watch and that's questions, but I do love his game. I like that he's a very unselfish young man. His passing ability and getting people involved and getting the best out of his teammates. Definitely his like you mentioned, his defense is a little questionable, but I don't think he can't play. That's probably just the effort thing.
We just named two players who was drafted in the 2020 draft in the top three. Can you tell Knicks fans who we drafted and how many wins we had that season?
2020. Is that the RJ? That's the RJ in them season, right? No, that's not it. Hold on, 2020. Who's that after? That's Obi.
Yes.
That's the Obi season. So you got to play because that's Obi. But I understand why we did Obi too, though. That's not. I can't fault the Knicks. Randall's having a terrible season. They might not have bought into his future. He was the backup. He was supposed to take Randall's spot, and Randall came back with vengeance and said, "Y'all bugging out."
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. What you think Randall's face was like when he seen the Knicks draft Obi at 8? What you
thinking? He probably was saying what I'm thinking. If I'm there, I'm like, "They wilding out. I'm about to show them. No, they bugging out. They think I'm about to give." No. Right, that's probably exactly how he was, and it showed in his play.
I appreciate you so much for coming today. This means so much to me. I keep seeing your sons, that the pictures in the back. Oh my God, can you read all of them off, please? But before I let you get out of here, I would love for you to read all of those off before you give your last. All right, peace out, state. Can you please read those off for me?
Yeah, it says challenges are opportunity to grow. Mm-hmm. Practice is the best way to get better. I could accomplish anything if I don't give up. Again, the first one was all things are difficult before they are easy. And the last one is effort and perseverance are the keys to success. And I told you I was sent a gift for him. Hold on, before he goes, I'm gonna text his dad, tell him to send it. He'll send it. I've been letting him close out the Your Take Knicks lately because he said he wanted to get into his own blogging, but he wants to do like Twitch. He's too young for that just yet. So I let him get his little, you know, his fill in the Your Take Knicks. Go ahead, say your thing, baby. Go ahead.
So you know what? This is how we gonna end this show. This would be a beautiful ending. I would love for you to give your last take, plug in whatever you need to plug in as far as like what you're about to come out with next. And then you can let your son end the show.
I got you. I got you. You could, you know, catch me again, Your Take Knicks. You got KOT Nick of Time post games, Liberty season, which is right around the corner. Me and Queen P do Bowling the Queens VSN. We do spaces every post game. So I'm excited about that. That's coming up. And hopefully more podding for Liberty. My goal for the Liberty is to give them, you know, a platform, because the women play, they be balling, fundamentally sound and real good team basketball. I am gonna hold you. It took me a little minute to get back into NBA season because I find the NBA plays a way more selfish brand of basketball. So I had to get back into that after seeing so much team ball. But yeah, that's my next project, and hopefully I'll have a little ranting show. I'm gonna call it Mad Thoughts, so that look out for that.
I got a couple rants for you. Just make sure you tell me an hour before. I'm gonna go get some Tito's. My mom's put me on to the Tito's. Have Tito birthday. I get some Tito's, and I, trust me, we'll get right. But I am waiting because you muted yourself, man.
Yeah, call them in the room. I don't want to scream on your podcast.
Nah, it's okay, man. Listen, black family, they screaming up. Oh, man, yo. Once again, yo, 556 people watching live. Today is ladies. It's ladies' day today. It's ladies' night today. I got two more wonderful ladies coming on the show. You know, I got boxing with, you know, sis. Boxing with, hold on, let me make sure I get Nakia shit, Nakia shit right, man. We ain't going. My silly ass, you know, I'll be forgetting stuff. My brain jammed up. I got people hitting me up. I got people texting me. We got this other motherfucker. Yo, Steve, man. So Knockouts with Nakia, co-host of In the Ring with Christine, is coming on the pod next. And I really do appreciate her for pulling up to the show. I appreciate for Hey! Wait, I can't hear you.
Say hello, I can hear you.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. You doing good at school?
Yep, I got a blue on my test. One of my assignments. Yes, assignments.
Oh, yeah? What you want to be when you get older?
I want to be an architect. I'm going to build all stuff, and I'm going to engineer flying cars if they don't.
They have it already, right?
They don't.
I love that mindset. Keep that mindset. You will be an architect.
Also, I'm going to build very, very high buildings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I will build one like the Burj Khalifa.
Mm. What makes you build?
The highest building in the world.
Oh, okay. What made you want to build?
Let him ask a question. Okay. You got like get
no, no. Matter of fact, it's your show. Go ahead.
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Yeah, just ask him a question. Let him answer it so he could, because he'll talk for another hour. And we got another guest.
Yeah. What's your favorite? What got you in the building? Like, why do you love building?
Because I saw people and they use their imagination to think great stuff. So then, once I use my imagination, I will think great, 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 many, many buildings.
And this was his start right here. These building blocks right here, right?
Yes, this was my start. And now I am going to be the amazing builder. Mm-hmm. The most amazing builder the world has ever seen.
All right, so you're gonna close me out?
Yep.
Go ahead, say the line.
And also, you could have been anywhere in this world, but you decided to be here, and we appreciate it.
Good job. And say deuces.
Deuces.
It's a deuces. You know what? Let me hit the damn music. Good job, man.